The Orange County Recommission Executive Committee. It's May 24th. We're here at the Office on Aging. We will call the meeting to order. And I would like to invite Commissioner Rachel Owens to lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance.
Please stand if you are able.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands. One nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you so much. All right, and now we will have roll call with Dave, and Dave Trissel will be here momentarily.
Oh, so I've got Charlene.
Present.
Meredith. Jean. Any word on Jean?
No, I don't get those anymore.
He's not coming.
Yeah, no, he said he was going to be absent.
Pardon?
He said he was going to be absent.
He was going to be absent.
Yep.
Okay, so I can. And then Crystal, you say we'll be a little late.
Yes.
Okay. Rachel?
I guess I'm here.
Here.
I know the thing and myself.
That's Claudia.
That's Claudia.
Yes. Okay, thank you, Dave. Monica, do we have any public comment?
No.
Right. Going right along. Now we are on to discussion items. And I think that we should reorder them a little bit. So we have the 2024-2025 OAC goals. Come on. We have the Senior Center Liaison Icebreaker, the AARP Age-Friendly Humanities and Legislative Bills. It seems like we want to talk about OAC goals and the age-friendly back-to-back.
Okay.
So my suggestion is that we talk about the age-friendly first and then go into the goals and see how they may or may not fit together.
Okay.
Is everyone okay with that? All right. So Elizabeth was kind enough to send out the links for the age-friendly. Did anyone have a chance to look at them? All right, so the background for this is that Crystal and I did go to the C4A conference. Claudia was there too. And there was a lot of breakout session chatter about the age-friendly initiative with AARP. We went to one seminar and the County of Santa Cruz is doing their master plan for aging in conjunction with the age-friendly. So they're doing them together in alignment. So I thought that since other counties are thinking about this and other cities, actually any entity can do it. It can be a city, a county, a state. The state of California is already age friendly. So we've already participated as a state. We have some cities that are age friendly.
Hi, Crystal. Sorry.
That's okay. And some counties have chosen to, but we haven't pursued that yet. So I thought that it was interesting. One of the links that we're talking about the age friendly. And how we've learned about that at the conference. Really, it's a policy program so that cities, counties, or states can enroll in the age-friendly network. You submit a membership application, and government is involved so that they pass a resolution to support membership in the network. You have to have the highest elected official for each kind of an entity agree to it, and then you start having public recognition for committing to be age friendly. So there's marketing and PR that AARP helps with, announced. They provide resources for identifying, assessing community needs. They provide technical assistance and webinars, best practice materials. So it's really a policy and a marketing framework and a lens for everything being age friendly. So that was one of the links I sent. And then the other link about age-friendly is the different domains, and they do overlap with a lot of what the master plans talk about, but that's having livable communities, and you know, that's parks and rec and transportation and a lot of the things that we're pursuing. So I thought it was interesting. I thought it was worth us thinking about and talking about today. So I'd be interested to hear what everyone thinks about.
So on one of those documents that was downloadable, the second page says enrolling in the network, and then they have this age-friendly program process. Mm-hmm. But we're sort of in the middle of all of this already. So I just, it's not that I don't think it's worthwhile, but it's nice to know that maybe we're halfway there and already focused in the right direction in many respects. So when they talk about, you know, joining the network, doing a community assessment, well, we've just done a couple of community assessments, which we have not received any of the results yet. So I'm not sure how we make future plans without evaluating the results of those assessments, which is developing the action plan. So until we get some response back from Alzheimer's and the survey that was done in October, you know, how can you develop much more of a plan, much less implement, et cetera, et cetera. So from a big picture standpoint, it's certainly wonderful words at how we integrate it beyond using it as a cudgel to the Board of Supervisors to really make a bigger focus, a la putting us on the agenda in a more permanent way so that a report can be made to the Board of Supervisors every month without us sitting there for the whole supervisor meeting and getting 3 minutes at the end to do a public service announcement, right, to do our public service announcement. And if you'll belong to the goals committee here, your ad hoc committee, maybe looking to do a public service campaign through the Board of Supervisors in a more coordinated way, which this would snowball or support.
Well, yeah, I see, you know, obviously there's cons to it, which is that there's overlaps. Maybe it ticks the boxes and we just do two things at once and that's fine.
Yeah.
But if you say we're now age friendly and because of that, we have all these things rolling out, this is what we're doing. I see that as being something that's positive.
I do see that as something positive. And this could, like I said, be the impetus to move the whole Board of Supervisors to the next level of awareness. And you got a lot of lip service that they would each have a representative at our monthly meetings. I'm not sure we've even seen one.
And we have two supervisors.
Okay. Yeah. And we know that they're more or less supportive of the needs of seniors in the community. Well, we're a huge voting block, regardless of which side of the aisle you sit on. It's a huge voting block. So anything that could raise that awareness, I think, is worthwhile.
I agree with everything that you said, Rachel. And I think that there's a part here that perhaps, of course, I don't speak for the Board of Supervisors or anybody on it, but as an elected, I see this as this would kind of tend to add some legitimacy from the point of view of it's something a little more tangible than just, I don't mean this in a negative way, but just a group of us getting together and being concerned about older adults and what we can do or what needs to happen. But it kind of gives us a pathway, and in my opinion, the work that's being done now and last year and this year is really great, but I kind of feel like because we don't have that, either the documentation of information from the survey or, you know, we don't have to, this helps kind of give us more of a pathway guideline. And I think her point with the Board of Supervisors gives them something tangible to be able to add to their monthly announcements agenda. Whatever. So I see it as a supplement and kind of proof. What's the blueprint? I'm sorry, that word just could not come. So I like it.
It's part of the
future. Yeah, I know.
She's giving you the reminders.
So I was thinking you had a
welcome to
that. So and realizing you didn't. So I don't know what we need to do to try and go forward with this or try and...
Well, I'd love to hear from Dave and Charlene, too.
Well, I just basically think that this helps strengthen our credibility.
Yeah.
I don't really see any negative, so I would really support this kind of initiative to move forward.
Is this an accredited program? Is this how this one we started?
Yeah, you basically apply with AARP. It's something that they run. There are grants available.
And anytime there's an accreditation process, for older adults and the fact that Orange County is not involved in that totally surprised me.
So but the city I'm of totally Anaheim.
City of Anaheim was
on the list. Yeah.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. And the city of San Clemente is thinking about it right now. So the cities and the county would also be able to work together off of this premise too if a lot of the cities are doing it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'll tell you, being at that conference, you know, the term age friendly, and we look at each other and it's like, we're not even age friendly. We have a lot of people working really hard, but how do we get to be age friendly? Doesn't matter, you know, unless we're able to say, well, it's like, here we are, this is it, as stupid as this sounds, like, okay, we're age friendly now, you know what I mean? If we don't have that substance.
It's kind of like you're just using words.
Well, the county of Santa Cruz, who's doing their needs assessment right now and also is doing this and the master plan at the same time, is saying that this helps all of the higher government departments look at age friendly. Like, how does Water and Power look at age friendly? Mm-hmm. How does Parks and Rec look at age friendly? It's more of a lens.
Yeah. I was just going to say that. Because I was going to say, Rachel, you have an excellent point. There's a lot of cities and within Orange County, some of those cities that are doing it, the service, that lens, it's out there, but it's a little fragmented. I don't think we have in the AARP Age Friendly Community Initiative will allow for that more higher, broader, how do we all come together so that we are looking at things from an age-friendly and accessible, you know, all things considered, right? And part of the whole APA process, and even with our county, there are some initial, and that's really all I can say, what we've been updated so far. It's just very initial conversations about how would this look, right? Let's find out a little bit more about the age-friendly. What does that mean in terms of as we move forward with an MPA development? How do we roll this over so it's not so fragmented, right? So that we can say how, because this will require definitely some collaboration across and some of the cities and be able to at least look at what kind of partnerships that would, you know, potentially open up if some of the cities are already looking at it from that perspective and where they are. I was excited to hear at least as we attend some of the planning committees portions and trying to get an update on where we are in the process of our MPA and our needs assessment and when, you know, that is coming, that some of these conversations are starting to flow. And how do we then, what does this need to look like? Part of Meredith, you mentioned the grant, that there are some granting opportunities. We do have a very small grant right now under the Local Aging Disability Action Plan. When I say small, it's very small. It's really looking at supporting potential, like, you know, the staff necessary so that we can have a point of person to kind of lead this on and organize it and write these plans for us and who's doing all of that piece. So as you're able to share and bring forth, because clearly, you know, we all have lots of questions on what does that assessment look like? What is it going to tell us? Where, you know, are some of these gaps? Because even just within our county and our cities, we are providing lots of services to our older population, but we're a little just decentralized, right? A little fragmented everywhere. And that's where the whole concept of even bringing the awareness and where do we get this information and who's servicing, they're out there. It's just a little fragmented, I feel. And that's not unique to just Orange County.
Oh,
it's right all across like what we all deal with. There are some counties that kind of got ahead of it because the AARP age-friendly concept, technically, if hopefully I'm not wrong about this, so don't quote me, don't report this part. But there is, I believe the AARP age-friendly initiative came out even before the master plan on aging.
Yes.
Okay. Maybe just like 2-3 years previously. And so not a lot of knowledge about age-friendly that, you know, was having to talk until the master plan and the governor's release for, you know, calling for master plan came out, that then we're like, wait, there's an age-friendly community, dementia-friendly communities, what does that look like? And I think through the development of that master plan is where we'll have an opportunity to really incorporate some of the pieces that, like, oh, wait, you already did a needs assessment.
Can, yeah, it's not part of it. Can we roll that?
Yeah, we can roll that into it. Yeah, we can roll that into it. So these are some of the
conversations. I think the AARP, though, they have grants.
They separately, yes, that we might be able to look into.
For 2025.
Mm-hmm. So that is something that at least I was happy to my ears to hear that some of these conversations are starting to happen as we're right now a little bit on the holding on, results of this NEES assessment. And so at least we can say, well, let's start digging into this, because if that's the case, then we're going to start taking steps forward for the development of the master plan, then we might already have been.
And I think that for the standard person and the public, age friendly is going to sound a lot better than master plan.
Than the master plan. This could be. Yeah. And you know what? One of the counties, I want to say San Diego. San Diego started with an age friendly first, right? They were like in year three, year two. And then the MPA, development came out and they're like, oh, wait, look, can we, some way tie all this together? And so that's how that happened. So their initial initiative on like age well and living well in San Diego rolled into and morphed as part of one of the initiatives within their master plan. Other counties like the Inland Empire counties, they are joining forces. So they're developing not a specific like Riverside County and then San Martino County. They're developing a joint force Inland Empire master plan for aging. So
it's
a little bit different. Yeah, very similar, lots of similar demographics there. The county's a little bit smaller on the Riverside side, but everyone is, and for the South areas, counties, everyone's at different steps. Everyone's at different levels, right? In LA, as they also move forward, they have some initiatives that I think is definitely helping them move that forward. So we're excited, at least on this end, from an Office of Aging perspective. Our role is, yes, we provide services for our aging and older population, but under our county governance and programs and other entities, they also provide, and we're all age connected in one way, shape, or form. So we're happy to at least be at the table so that we can have some discussion, so that we can help guide someone from the lens of the older adult. These are some of the things that we're doing here that we can tap into and definitely make part of the overall what this master plan or age friendly communities might look like for our county. So very early, if I can just share that, early on in, okay, very similar to our conversation here. It's like, okay, what does it require? What does that mean? What does it need to look like? So I'm sure more discussions to come. And then of course, wherever we can definitely share, if not us, but or I, at least kind of some of the, discussions that I need to have or what's in the development, we'll definitely bring that forth to you all.
As a group, if we are supportive or joining this community, what are your next steps to champion that? Or what are our steps that then allow you to have next steps to champion this?
Right. So some of those conversations are going to be, what kind of community development, advocacy groups, advisory groups, what is that going to need to look like? And if there is definitely some opportunities for us to advocate for having our OLAC members and or, of course, other members of the community with all the other services much needed, that we can be a part of that. And that gives you that avenue to provide that, advocacy, that guidance, that feedback, the stakeholder input piece of it. So if that's definitely an area that we're going to do, we'll be more than happy to at least advocate and explore on how we can get our OLAC be part of that process as well, right? Like, how can we evolve and be part of that advocacy?
So really what we're talking about is possibly like the community services mission,
right?
Having a member who is appointed to quote unquote advocate for the older adult that is this committee is making choices that someone is speaking very clearly about. How do we incorporate that initiative with this one or this one to add to? But that's a big step for. I'd like to see it. That's a big step for the county to take to say on our transportation committees, our finance committees, right? All of those places, we need to add another commissioner, possibly, in order to
well,
have
OCPA
that.
Well, already has the, I think a lot of them do. I represent seniors at Cal Optima.
Yeah, have something.
Yeah.
Some of your members are going to be attending some of these community committees or advisory or planning committees. So that is definitely, yes, right? We want to bring that forth to you so that there's opportunities for that involvement. And then just through the lens, your role as an advisory, you know, council is to advise and bring forth information and ideas and whatnot. And so we can also take that. And as we attend and we're part of these, we can say, you know, this has been a topic of interest from our, you know, advisory commission members, you know, how does this tie? And so that helps us also bring forth. It's not just, well, Elizabeth and Claudia said, right? It's our commissioners have these areas that they're really interested in and topics that keep coming up so that we can relay and also provide that level of support and advocacy.
So back to the question of, does a recommendation from this committee to explore this more fully and execute a contract or an NDA with our, does that happen here that goes on our agenda for June that in turn gets presented to the council?
I think as we move forth, or at least we can bring forth a little bit of more updates on conversations happening at our county level on this development, and we're getting closer to that. Hey, there's definitely more talks about our age friendly, and maybe we want to start taking those steps to make it happen. But we would like to get some stakeholder feedback or support on this, and we can bring that to you. And yes, you can then as the body say, we would definitely like to support this process and participate where you know, all possible and opportunities present. You can write that up, you can make an action on that, and that we can then go ahead and share that with our county and our departments that will be part of that.
Could we have a speaker at one of our meetings that get into depth on this from AARP?
Like a presenter from AARP?
Yeah.
That can come and speak on this process.
You have a number of electeds on that board from our commission that might be interested in just saying, I can just hear Dave Wheeler now.
I'll make a call to
him. I'm signing.
Yeah. So who the hell is age friendly? No, I think that's good. I think that it would also be interesting. I don't know. Are we able to have speakers via Zoom? Or not?
You don't have the capacity to do that right now with the presenters, but I mean, that's something we can look into.
I was just thinking it would be interesting.
Yeah, because all our meetings are in person right now. We don't have the virtual capacity. So having a presenter
come. Well, we're always on Zoom. Mr.
Staples doesn't have the ability to.
Are we always on Zoom? Like we're on Zoom right now.
No.
What is this?
No. It's just the recording. It's not a virtual live.
Oh.
Yeah.
And they told us after COVID was over, we couldn't do any Zoom meetings anymore.
I didn't mean us. I meant a presenter from out of town.
No, I know.
Yeah.
But then it would mean that we would have to open up our meeting to be, you know,
public. Yeah,
public. Because we're making a public avenue to bring a presenter in publicly through virtual. Means,
but
so.
You're right, we could probably get more speakers if we did that.
I was just thinking Santa Cruz is already doing this, so it'd be cool for Santa Cruz to already speak about how they have their master plan and they're also age friendly.
Oh, I like that idea.
Yeah. But they're not going to come down here, obviously.
Oh, no. Yeah. That's a good idea.
But there were lots of resources on the ARP program, and I did not look to see if they have any kind of recording that we could play. That would explain what the program is. And it's only like 20 pages of information on that site. So I started to get into the weeds. And then
I think that having a presentation on age friendly would be neat. We could also try to have a panel of the age friendly cities in Orange County that are already doing it.
But we only have how many?
Anaheim was the only one that was on.
And San Clemente is thinking of it. Yes.
We presented at the Lake Forest Advisory Board, but it didn't go anywhere. Mm-hmm. And maybe that was our fault. Maybe.
Sandy, when you say we,
on the Senior Advisory Board, several of us had read different things in
our
magazine, so we brought it up.
Yeah.
Have a can't remember what you call it, but we have a sheet where we put our action items. Because we found when we were having our meetings, everything was neatly printed on the paper and then put away. So now we have action items and we keep following up. So
it sounds like you need to have your senior elected official. The other way to go about it versus what we're saying today is that an elected official says, yes, we want to do this. That's how it reads in the AARP information.
Right.
Yeah.
Let me see what I can find out. I may be able to reach out to San Diego and find out who their contact at AARP
is.
Let me see. I think this is definitely something that maybe, you know, obviously, in between meetings, take a look at it, see what kind of contact we can have, and potentially have the executive team present it or put it on the presentation schedule, right? It'd be kind of nice to have someone from AARP to really speak on as a subject matter, you know, expert. So, and I think that will benefit too. We're always extending our general meetings to other county agencies, entities. So if anyone would like to come in and hear about it, it'd be great avenue to provide.
So maybe we could get someone from San Diego County if they're willing to drive. That would be cool. It's not that far.
No, but I'd be like, hey, come talk to me. Let me see what I can find out.
That's easier than going to LA.
Yes, it is. That's easier
than going to
LA.
Okay. Circle back to one thing you said. So the needs assessment that's already been done and in process, what's the delivery date? When are we going to be able to review?
Yeah, we don't have a delivery date on it, on where that is. So we have... as a county, we do have an inbox that we have.
I emailed it.
Yeah, perfect. Thank you.
I did not get a reply.
Yes, it's just brand new. Set up an inbox because trying to find obviously an avenue of communication so that we can funnel any questions from the community.
So I did ask the question. I didn't get a reply.
Okay. Thank you for letting us know. Let us know if you are and. You don't care.
It's been like a week and I haven't gotten a response. Yeah.
Thank you.
Where did that information?
It was sent to all of us.
It's an inbox.
It's
a county email.
OC master plan for aging at osica.com.
Ask your question.
That's how the state does it. They always have email addresses for all their programs.
Yeah. We funnel
the questions. Claudia, why don't we have this information? We're 6 months in at this point. So what is the delivery date? Or why don't you know what the delivery? I'm sorry, but
this is the question that I asked in the email.
I was in a space. And we just don't have, and we don't, I don't want to speak out of terms and not be accurate with what that is and what the reason for the delay is. So all I can say is, definitely, that is in the works.
Well,
and as soon as
I know that there's a group, but out of that group, who is the lead?
There is a group, and the leads are social service agency, our CEO's office, our county administration.
So maybe we want to invite them to come and speak to the OAC about their process.
So we are definitely, like, these kinds of questions, we are definitely sharing that and funneling all of those up to the planning committee so that we can figure out, hey, where are we? So I'm sorry, Rachel.
I know you're trying to have
more information to share. It's like,
To me, you are the lead agency for pulling this information together. And
we're very frustrated. We are part of the planning committee so that we can advocate on the lens of the older adults on that end. But not just Office on Aging Services, but there's adult services, home service, adult protection service. There's lots of realms
that cover
older adults.
There's
several agencies involved in that or part of the planning.
We're not all just saying what the
where is.
I think it's perfectly okay, Sandy, for you and for Barbara to email that inbox and say that we would like to have a presentation.
Okay.
Yeah.
You want me to forward it to you?
Obviously not the bottom one,
but I have two for you.
The Rachel.Owens.Trust. Yeah, the other one's dead.
Okay. Lots of dead emails.
Yeah. Send it to me again, Rachel, too, because I'd have to go look for it.
Yeah, I think that see what happens when you email the inbox and ask them for an update presentation.
Okay.
Sandy, you have a new email, right?
Yes.
Yeah, she does too.
What is it?
Sandy Staying 18 at gmail.com.
What does the 18 mean?
I was born on the 18th.
Got it.
I didn't want to put my year on.
I know, your year. Because
my brother did that. My brother did that. I'm like, everyone will always.
You were born in 1918 or 2018. So.
Yes, I was born in 2018. Thank you.
You do look great. Okay, so thank you for the discussion on the AARP age friendly. It sounds like that we want to continue pursuing that and schedule a presentation. So Claudia, thank you for your assistance on that with San Diego County. Okay, so let's go back up then to discussion item A, which are the OAC ad hoc goal. So take it away, Rachel.
Okay. So this ad hoc committee was authorized through June.
Yes.
So we wanted to have we scheduled our next meeting right after the last one. Anyway, it doesn't really matter. So here is our next update, and I think it's pretty close to a final version. We are recommending, and maybe we need to change this at this point, but that the theme for overall is to close the distance between needs and services. And the goal is to have our OAC members enhance and improve the quality of life for Orange County older adults, and for our activities to be meaningful and measurable in the community so that any one of us feels that we have made an impact in the community for the time we spend with it. We reorganized the priorities, information access, aging in place, transportation access, specifically as areas of concern. Like to see, again, no wrong door program, the ADRC marketing focus, the education presentation for our senior centers, and promote older adult and caregiver services to the community, and identify resources not linked to our ADRC. Some of these we can't do, so I'm going to leave you to, but our specific tasks, we would like to encourage our members to participate more in your RFP panels and make them more aware as they come up, because I think because that input again goes back to older adults. There are some presentations. We talked about having the Office on Aging create us a PowerPoint presentation that each of our people who are assigned to senior center could present at the senior center. So we're looking for that. Obviously, this little brochure needs some work, and or, we know that it's a lot frustrating to use the 800 number, and we really should be promoting a 714 and possibly a 949 number on these forms instead, so that people feel that they're not making a long distance call. You're helping us create a monthly outreach kind of thing that we can disseminate to the senior centers. Are you disseminating that to the supervisors as well, or is that something that we need to do?
Any opportunity flyer, brochures, newsletters, as we are developing these, we definitely.
Why is it subscribed because of the legislative subscription? Yeah. And I was like, you can subscribe to these.
So I subscribe to the
supervisors, and they send out a lot of communications. So far, I've only been doing it for 2 weeks, right? So far, not much on older adults. So I'm going to keep looking at those because I think that it seems like they're talking a lot about families, which is great, but we also need more older adult communications on their newsletters.
Which goes back to that whole focus.
Yes.
In the master plan or the presentation that you all made, the mark, the area update, it indicates that you create a monthly newsletter.
We're looking into that.
Okay, you don't do it now, but
we don't have it in place now. But
it's for our area
plan. Yeah, it's our area plan.
Like our area plan starts in July, and that's when.
But we're definitely
so again specific
having some discussions internally.
From the commission would be to help move that out. Expand outreach to older adult residents. Like to see us use the registrar's database to identify registered voters with emails, because you can sort that list by city, by age group, and distribute those lists to the senior centers for them to increase their outreach to their local community. Again, Dave Wheeler jumped into the database and downloaded 35,000 email addresses for Laguna Hills in that general area. They added it to the list of his senior center in Laguna Hills.
So we'll see what happens.
We will see what happens.
Yeah.
But if that turns out to increase engagement, then it's certainly something that we should to look at.
Rachel, what do you mean by on 2D here, marketing materials to state elected officials?
Well, again, we had talked about using that same presentation that Elizabeth has been doing, and be sure that it gets out to our local state cities and state folks as well.
Gotcha.
As county
like some lead, like
yeah. So yeah. So this, like, they all have
gotcha. Oh, I see.
Right. I'm well, sorry, one of the so, what presentation are you referring to?
Presentation.
Yeah.
We have asked uh-huh. to have a presentation about resources that are available in the county for older adults.
Marco gave a presentation. We've asked for it.
The aging disability resource.
Yeah. And we had that updated some. We got the QR code.
Right.
But a whole PowerPoint presentation that could be posted on somebody's website and or presented to a city's senior commission and or available in the senior center.
And then all the, because the elected officials at the state and local levels do casework, and a lot of them turn over quickly, so they don't know the resources either.
It's not that one.
Oh,
I know. We were confusing because when we do the January overview of Office on Aging and Aging Programs, then we have the one that Dale McIntosh and Marco.
And I don't know if we want to talk about ADRC.
And I was just going to say, and that's what my comment was, we might need to revisit that.
I'd rather just talk about the Office on Aging myself, and then people can queue through
aging
that to the ADRC.
Correct. As part of
yes.
this is one yes. part. So,
yeah.
Rachel, thank you for clarifying that, because I think we need to probably look at some of our presentations and how we can maybe generalize one that can be all inclusive of wherever in the community you're sharing.
That would be great, because we also want to start having more, people want to know what to do at the senior center. So we can offer a presentation with a PowerPoint deck. It's going to be great.
Well, and also I go back to the city councils, right? So if it's on our website, then when I'm at my council meeting, I say, don't forget, go to our website, mm-hmm. Office on Aging information, if you have any questions, and it can be a whole presentation there for those that aren't familiar with Office on Aging. You know what I mean? It's just that first initial.
Mm-hmm.
So for those who are not familiar with the Office on Aging, what is it, number one?
What is it?
Oh, okay. Office on Aging, what do we do?
How do you
get in touch?
What type of
services?
Correct.
Okay. How do you use it?
I mean, this certainly is a very nice list. What does adult day health care?
Like, what is it? Yeah.
I don't know if we want,
Well, you don't want too much
information. And you don't want to see
Not
zero. Are you saying the way that I can take your older adults need care?
This is like a teaser. And now you go do your homework if you're interested in this subject or that subject.
People have like a attention span of a gnat these days. It needs to be peppy. And this is how you get to where you need to go.
A mosquito.
present. But actually, Rachel, we do have that. It's what our annual does. And it's kind of taking that as like your teaser, but then the PowerPoint would be a little bit more informative. But then we have to be mindful of how much is too much information also on a like a slide or a PowerPoint where you also lose, you know, like your audience. But we do. The PowerPoint goes a little bit more describe of what the programs are, right? Because someone might ask, well, what is legal service? I mean, legal service, but what does that mean? So being able to look at
area plan PowerPoint too.
And some of it is in that too. Okay. I think we have various different PowerPoints for all the different needs. But if now
I would say that it should be 10 slides or fewer.
I was just gonna say something short, like.
And the thing is, as a presenter, you don't have to answer any of the questions. You can just say, "That's a great question."
All I email, call information and assistance.
Do one.
And Rachel, I just like to say when I see this, it adds clarity to the role of the commissioners. And Sandy and I have had this discussion before. It's like, okay, now if I'm sitting down with a new member,
right,
commissioner,
what we're doing.
It's, I need tools, okay? Yeah, I need to go to the senior center, but okay, now I'm here.
Right.
And this provides us ultimately with what we need to be effective.
Rachel, may I ask, are you still working on editing this draft before you would take it back to
the general? That's why I'm presenting here is to say what else, what should now go on this, what does need to be
here,
what
you
all need.
Under Board of Supervisors, public service campaign could be B, and A could be consider age friendly for county.
Yes.
Rachel, would you entertain a change in theme? Close the distance between teams and services. Usually the terminology that's used for that is bridging the gap. So we need to know.
You were talking to four community members who we may not be as sensitive to what the right wording is, but maybe what this really needs to say is
creating age-friendly Orange County.
Thank you.
Say that again, Meredith.
Creating age-friendly Orange County.
Yeah. I don't like bridge gap. It's too much.
I was just going to say that's been around for a long time.
Yeah, for a long time.
We are bridging that gap between A and B. You want juniors to
stuff.
You should be chair for a year.
No, no, no. Five more meetings.
How about you get to be?
We try communities.
I like Orange County being it myself.
Creating age friendly Orange County.
I like that creating because that means you're working on it.
Because it's never done.
It's
never.
Exactly.
Yeah,
it's never done. It's going to be a.
Yeah.
And it keeps changing.
Yeah.
So creating is perfect.
So I go back to my question with these few little tweaks. Is this sufficient to be part of the report that we are obligated to submit to the Board of Supervisors? Or does it need more?
No, they want it to be brief too.
Yeah.
One page. I'm very good at getting Dave Wheeler down to one page.
I like the suggestion of the Board of Supervisors adding a letter.
This is great. Thank you so much.
Very good.
Any other discussion on this?
Is it an action item?
No. Well, when does it need to be? So the ad hoc committee is authorized through June. So is this going to be then the final version that gets submitted with the agenda for the change meeting in June?
Yeah. You'll want to. Yeah, you'll want to have a final draft to present to your general and have them take action there.
Yes.
That's what we're going to do.
Thank you so much. As an aside, can we have June off next year, or is this July off permanent?
It's July and December.
It used to be.
It used. It was June for in time memoriam. It got changed for the Office on Aging request. It got changed to align it with all the other boards and advisory commissions under our division, so that we're all dark in the same month.
So we were all dark in the same month.
We were in separate months. It made it a little challenging. Yeah. So then July and December.
And why do we need it 9:30?
Because of traffic.
And these are mature.
Rachel, you want to come in earlier?
I would come at 8.
Oh, yes. Oh no, the traffic would be horrible in South County.
No, I like 9:35.
Okay, all the South County people say no.
No.
Yeah.
9:30 is perfect for me, being self-centered that I am.
Well, you're South County too.
9:30 is perfect. I can leave at 5 to 9.
Well, and yeah. Because La Paz is completely screwed up now, so that takes me like an extra 30 minutes.
What's screwed up?
La Paz.
Oh.
The freeway around La Paz.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. No, we're not changing the time. How's that?
Okay.
One of the things you do think we need to be clear of on our agenda these days, though, is that we're running 9:30 to 11:30 because we're not having the subcommittee meetings and people are sort of focused on, okay, I got an hour, I'll push it to an hour. 15.
Well, there's one main person that's doing that, and if that person has to leave, then I have to leave.
Yeah, yeah. Or 9:30 to 11.
It's always been
there, but I don't think we've done. We don't put it in time. Yeah. That's a personal choice because we talked about it. Everyone's aware of it.
Okay.
That's a personal choice.
But the goal is to end by 11:30 or?
No, if people want to choose to leave at the old time because they haven't adapted, that's their choice.
However, be mindful, and that is something that we'll provide a little bit more support on, make sure that we clarify and we're all on the same page about it. If you lose quorum at any time while you're running that meeting, then if you're, let's say 11:30 rolls around and you're still having to, whatever, whether it's-
Yeah, that happened to us during the bylaws.
Right. Yes, that's right. Okay. That's right. Then you technically have to stop the meeting because now you have that quorum to run the meeting. So be mindful.
That point needs to be expressed.
So we just put it on the agenda. Mm-hmm. The meeting's 9:30 to 11.
You're right. Yeah.
Well, we only have two people, really, in my opinion, 2 to 3 people that are leaving.
But I don't think we have publicly express the fact that without the commissions, the monthly meeting is scheduled for.
Meredith has several.
Yes, I have. We talked about it
several times. Yeah. She's brought it up.
Okay.
People have questioned her, and she's answered the question. We got rid of the subcommittees, so I said we all said in the beginning the meeting could go on
a little longer.
But I think it's important now because of the clarification or the alignment with, you know, because I'll be honest with you, I'm on other committees that if we don't have quorum, we have still stayed and discussed but never voted because we lost our quorum. And now I know it's been clarified. So one of these meetings is met quarterly. So
can you have that on the agenda for us to
just getting that? Yeah. So that needs to be stated that if people leave, we can't continue. Everyone has to leave. If you leave, we all have to.
I think it's helpful to put the time frame on
there
from 9:30 to.
It's holding that quorum, right? So you can have one person leave, you still have quorum, but then you have.
That's what I mean.
Yeah, then that's it. And if you're still running, this business and open meeting.
Well, the other thing is, though, as secretary, if you see that people are leaving prior to the halfway mark, then they're absent.
Correct. But what is the mark?
I guess you figured out at the end.
Yeah. So, yeah. Which leave? Do we have to track?
You may not be.
Oh my. It's just like that general, like all considerations as we have meetings, the longer they go, right? You start to lose attention, and then we got other things to run to. I'm saying we as in general, less.
Yeah.
Meetings are hard. Okay, so let's go to, where am I?
B,
the senior center liaison icebreaker. So,
okay, why are we
you go back to that? So, Rachel, you're going to have items with
another version.
Okay. And are we going to present this as a general?
Yes.
And then what are we planning on doing with the third version?
We're going to vote that we're presenting this as our quarterly update to the board.
As our goals and
the as the goals of the commission.
Yeah.
You're voting to approve these as the goals of the commission.
It will be communicated to the board.
Correct.
And supervisors.
Yeah. Are they going to run too? No. However, I don't have the schedule in front of me, but there are meetings that are where there is no meeting at all. So So at the supervisor's level, it's not that the whole month goes dark, but there's meetings that are not
happening. You can email and have meetings with them, not at their meeting.
I was just going to say that's probably the best.
Yes. Yeah,
not because you don't want to limit yourself to the 3 minutes.
No.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So now we're on to the icebreaker. So at the last general meeting, we decided that we don't need the obligatory form and that we were just going to come up with a optional icebreaker so that people that are stumped or that are new members would have something to start with. So I believe that page 4 out of 5 here could be eliminated. I think that people know that they could schedule a visit and introduce themselves. That seems like kind of parental.
I could give it.
Okay,
so you're going to take this page out.
This is just my suggestion, to take this page out and then for us to come up with like 5 questions.
See, and that's kind of how I thought originally when we talked about this, was it was going to be 5, 4, 5, 3, 7. I don't care how many, but very simple questions that everybody would have the same questions to be able to go to the community center and say, hey, tell us about, do you have a food program? Tell me about that. And then find out information, and that person could say, well, you know, we also have thought about looking into blah, 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 blah. But then it comes back, it's presented or given to Office on Aging to say, hey, I was over at the Friendly Center, and they said they don't even have food programs.
Although they all have food programs. But yeah. I don't think, in my opinion, and I know we talked about this at the general meeting, I don't think that we need to report back really to the Office on Aging. But I think that as we have our discussion, we can. I think it should be more about best practices outside of the typicals, and also pressure points for the senior centers.
That's great too. But I don't know. For me, this throws me off, and maybe I'm just spicy this morning. But the intertopic at question 6. That's way more. That's more.
Oh yeah, we're starting from scratch. I think with just like suggested icebreaker questions.
So is this going to be just like a general template to use as a tool for our new commissions? Or is this
we're not going to have a template. We're just going to have a sheet that says suggested icebreaker questions.
Okay. Just so this is not like a monthly thing where you're
just to help them and guide them how to open up first.
Some people aren't going to need it. Some people are going to.
It came up because a lot of the new people were saying, well,
what do I say?
What am I doing here? What's the point? And the people have been around for a while, they already knew what to do. But the new people were really questioning it.
I'd say, like, for me, I would say, what makes your senior center unique?
It's a good one.
I got quite one. We're talking about the new people. I got the original senior liaison's sheet. That kind of just outlines general responsibilities for the ambassador and so forth. Where has that transpired from?
I never saw it.
Yeah, I sent you a copy. And then we updated it.
Changed, you know.
And that was the general, the general introduction. When we first started the program, we developed that sheet and just outlined some roles.
No.
Without going to any specific topic, the icebreaker is good. But for new members, this is an outline sheet of what the ambassador...
This could be part of an orientation package for a new member,
and
which would also include this kind of
exactly
instructions
to new people when they get a packet.
Right. And I think it's a good reminder for everybody.
This says OAC.
Yeah, we updated it. I got the original one. And Elizabeth updated it with modern terminology on it. And
well, just if, yeah, I don't see why we don't give this yet. I don't. I've been updating so many things.
Yeah, right.
Is it the
ambassador sheet you were talking about that, yeah, that we couldn't find? Oh, okay.
We couldn't find it. Yeah. I called.
Okay.
Yeah, good. Elaine Genoway. Yep. Yeah. And I called, and she was able to find it.
Yeah. Okay, so. I don't even think we need the questions then, to be honest with you, if we have that.
Yeah,
then
if we have that, that's the outline.
That gives the person, I mean, obviously they're on the commission for a reason because they're interested or have
some unless you're specifically wanting to know about transportation.
We're not going to report anything or any data back to Office on Aging, and we don't need a list of questions. We just need that. So that somebody. This was more for about making sure a new person doesn't feel like, what am I doing? What
right.
do I do?
Yeah.
Right. So that list of questions was just a suggestion of like, you know, get started.
Right.
Go see what happens. But that is so much more clear about the
rule. I think that on the bottom of that, we could add something like suggested questions for your first visit. What makes your senior center unique? What are your pressure points? What's the best way to communicate with you?
Well, what do you say? What are your pressure points? Concerns?
Yeah.
Issues.
Challenges.
This is a document you can actually hand to senior center representatives saying, okay, we've got a program. I've been selected to be the ambassador to work with from Office on Aging and our committee. Mm-hmm. And this is our general outlines.
Does it say
to
report
back
on there?
But it's a continuous working document.
But I also think we're talking about
it just says share.
Yeah, share.
So it's general share information about what well hang on.
And that was the outline that we had when we originally established the ambassador program. So
well, I'm good with adding a couple questions on the bottom, but you know, I think that's
pretty right. Yeah, this is pretty.
However, you need some kind of orientation packet for a new person.
Yes.
And an orientation packet for a new person could be that, could be this instruction, could be a copy of this goals, could be a copy of the PowerPoint we were just discussing,
yes, exactly.
And any particular brochures that, that pertain to information they would need to have.
The other counties have the business cards too for their commissioners. It seems like someone asked me at the C4A, they're like, where's your county business card? And I was like, we don't have them. I don't want one anyway. But for some people that don't have a regular business card,
I just use my own.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So I don't need one.
You can't use a business card because then you're speaking to people out of the outside.
Yeah. That is a request that has been floating around on other like departments, commissions, boards. So we're looking into it.
Elaine Silver's her old name tag.
Yeah. So we'll let you know what we can find out in terms of what would that look like, what are the options for this? Because yes, to Dave's comment, because you're not representing like making business or decisions that are on behalf of Office on Aging necessarily. But as a citizen of an older dog in that community, we have to, yeah. And then for some of us that, you know, we might be on advisory boards and I'm just now representing from this lens versus my own like career and profession as well, right? So
here's these if we want to add them to the bottom.
Okay, suggested icebreaker questions. What makes your students are unique? What are your challenges? What's the best way to communicate with you?
Yeah.
Yeah. So you're talking to a senior center director.
Yeah,
right.
Oh, okay.
And that's in here, like find out who that point of contact is.
For example, the one in Anaheim, she told,
Lynette.
Lynette. She told her, you don't need to come here, just call me.
Yes. And then you could say back, well, I still want to come once in a while. Mm-hmm. It's a lot of relationship skills. Okay.
Just revisit this before we move on to the next agenda. Clean up this draft, and do you want to also now, do you feel comfortable presenting this to the general angel?
Yes.
Okay, and you want to put it on just the discussion?
Action.
And you want to make it an action here?
Yes.
This is what you want.
Yes.
Got it. Okay. Yeah, so that absolutely easy.
Yeah, that would be great.
Thank you
so much. Okay, so now we're on the legislative bills. We wanted to, I think, Chris, listen to your suggestion. Legislative bills, we'll get what the county has.
Yes, but I thought we were kind of in a standstill. I don't have any, I was hoping John was going to be at the last meeting, which he wasn't. So I don't have any. I don't have any info on that today for the legislative bills. Other than I thought we were going to hopefully get that sheet or the, you know, subscription or whatever about what they're.
Yeah, I'm subscribed now.
Well, I tried to subscribe. I think I subscribed.
Yeah,
it's on there, like what they're supporting and
yeah.
Yeah. And all. Yes, but I'm saying as far as us presenting or taking some of the bills, I wouldn't know where to start. You know what I mean? So unless we had somebody like a John or something, or somebody that's part of that, yeah. So I don't have anything for that right now. I wouldn't have it. I'd have to talk to John.
Okay. But do you want a legislative update on the agenda so that even if there's no report or nothing going on, but there's that it's there as a placeholder to add to the agenda item?
We normally have a report
from supervisors.
California Senior Legislature, which will show the status
right. But I don't
proposals,
know.
And that includes those that we have our own, just from.
Well, we voted on SB 37.
Yes.
But we also
and
have
that has been, and I'm supposed to write an update. I just want to.
Yeah. Okay. I don't think that, in my opinion, we don't need to have legislative bills on the agenda every single time.
Okay.
That's just my opinion, though. I think that we voted at the general meeting to support SB 37. The adult day bill that we talked about, that Elaine said was in suspense, got out of suspense and has been amended to be less costly for DHCS, but it will still raise the rates for adult day services, which is good. So those are the two bills that we mostly talked about, I feel like, last time.
So then do we need to revisit that bill since we didn't take action on it?
Well, my opinion after hearing their process is it seems like this county doesn't support a lot of things and just waits and sees for what other people are doing compared to other counties.
We're back to the age-friendly focus.
And maybe that's something that we need to, although it was a great effort, maybe that's something we need to wait until we can establish ourselves as a certified age-friendly county and then say, well, because we're age-friendly, we feel like, because right now, if we go through these bills, other than somebody who, this is what you do as a normal day
involvement,
you would have way more foresight knowledge is to be able to understand, well, this bill's going to impact us this way or this way versus now, you know. Anyways, I just wonder if this should be something that we kind of put a pin in.
Yeah.
And make it a plan later on, once we hopefully aren't considered a legitimate age-friendly county.
That's a good idea, Crystal. I thought it was interesting, too, just reflecting on what they share, that they wait for their county's trade association to take support. They don't want to take a support. They only have what they said, 15 to 30 things that they support at all every year. It seems like they, and that's kind of interesting that they wouldn't want to support more bills that would be good for the county.
And also, I think it's that they don't have the manpower to do that. That's what I got the impression, because of all the tracking and the, you know, reporting on and seeing what's going on, it would be more of a.
Oh, I didn't get that impression. The impression I got was that if someone else was going to do it, they didn't need to, in terms of letters of support. Because they were already tracking everything. Yeah. They were waiting to see if their association did it.
If we are officially backed by that we are an age-friendly community, then that gets exposed down to those other other commissions.
Other next that parts.
Yes, the
legislature. So, Chris, and I'm so bummed that I missed the last meeting. I'm like, oh, I didn't even want to be there. I do want to provide an update because in terms of that process, and let you know where we are with the SB 37, or at least the one that we voted on to support. That has been communicated over to our division.
Yeah.
And what happens, and I hope that I'm also in line with the presentation. So now that we have communicated up to our division, it has prompted a little bit more of a bill analysis on our end to be able to communicate it to the CEO, because we have to let them know that in addition to our advisory council requesting a support to this, we have to, our division's legislative unit has to then look at it, see what is the impact, what is, you know, is there's anything in terms of fiscal needs to consider, what are the supports. So they have to draft, they have their own format of bill analysis that they have to draft and then send it up to take the grant to the CEO's legislator. Mm-hmm. Then the CEOs at that level, then we'll figure out, okay, where are we? We're supporting, we're jumping on. Looking at the environment, mentioned about, I guess, somebody else drafting the letters for other entities, who's on here, who's supporting. So they look at all of
you
that.
You know, it would be helpful for us to hear back, Claudia, on SB 37, mm-hmm. is if they're not supporting, is their county association supporting? Because that was one of the things he said during the presentation. If our county, if our association of counties supports something, then we do not support individually as Orange County.
Oh, I see what you mean. And in regards to SB 37, I haven't received any updates in terms of anyone else jumping on, but there is a long list, obviously, of supports. Lots of,
and I abstain because Leading Age is a co-sponsor.
It's a co-sponsor. So locally there is definitely quite a few, and even at the state level, here there are some community organizations that are on. Yeah, and then there's definitely some counties. And then obviously for us is now getting our CEO to get in front of them so that decision can be made.
But to circle back here to being that our activities are meaningful with measurable results, knowing this next step is really important to include in the June agenda and presentation, because again, that circles back to why did I sit here and listen to all of that? Make a recommendation and then it seems to go into a black hole. It's nice to know that maybe it's not going into a black hole being considered.
Awesome. Thank you. What are your thoughts on the legislative? You decide you're not going to put that on the agenda general meeting. Is that something you want to put once or twice a year, just to say what's coming up?
My opinion would be once or twice a year, coming up kind of during that time period. But also to Rachel's point is if we have taken an action, requested an action to be taken,
we need update.
We need
And I'm almost wondering, let me get some feedback from legislative unit on what that process will look like internally, and if that's something that we can provide us if we already know that there's been a recommendation. How long does that process take? Because that's the unknown right now. So then at what point are we ready? So it might be an information that needs to funnel through us. Once they tell us, oh, okay, we have an update, then recommend to you, here's an update. Put it on the discussion and or I can write it on that director's report saying this is where we are. So we can take a look at it. So right now it's being analyzed and drafted to submit to CEO.
Well, and I'd asked, is there a good time or a better time to bring this to you?
Right.
And he said in September.
Okay.
I would think it would be like January, February, but
I'm surprised.
Yeah, September seems like
odd to me that when legislation is introduced and begins to be assigned to committees and.
But it sounds like they want to. It sounds like our county's position is that they're the last endorser of things, not the first.
Well, I think after our October annual meeting for the California City Legislature, we develop on that our top 10 pieces of legislation. So I think that's a good time to introduce what California City Legislature has done.
So that's a November meeting.
That's a November meeting. Where that is, that information can be introduced. That's good for the county to be aware of what has transpired.
Well, that's
and
why
that kind of sets up the following track, because then in February,
mm-hmm.
we have our walkthrough mm-hmm. with the state legislators mm-hmm. voting that. And then by March, we will have to build assignments for those that have picked up one of our proposals.
That's why I like introducing it maybe in a February. So like in a November or whatever, maybe we get an update from John or from you.
Maybe just a quarterly update.
And then in February-ish, we go, okay, well, these are the ones we really want to focus on. And then we present it. And then they have from February or March all the way until September. Right? And then in September, we say, okay, you know, what's going on with this bill, whatever, the 2, the 1, the 5, whatever it is that we presented to you. And that's the September thing. Because then, I don't know, that's my, I
like it.
That's how I thought
yeah.
of it. But.
Okay. Any other discussion on the legislation? All right. So now we're on to 6 action items, OAC appointments. We need to review and approve. We need to review and then decide to approve commissioner appointee membership of Beth Levin for OAC for a term ending on December 31st, 2024.
Wasn't she on before?
They were on before.
And now she's on. She wants to get back on. Or did they a term?
Yes.
They being her.
That's
correct.
Right. Pronoun.
Yes.
The pronoun she.
Thank you.
They
you
prefer.
Yes.
Oh, that's so hard.
Yes.
I got it.
Are we allowed to know why they stopped coming?
I don't think so. I think that's a.
My concern is there something different this time? If we approve the appointment, what guarantee do we have that the situation will not return?
And did they have to leave because they had too many absentees?
I'm looking at that right now. I see.
Yes, that was it.
Right.
She was absent January, February.
They are the community outreach person for Dale McIntosh. So my comments are that
she was absent the first 3 meetings.
Yes.
She was assigned.
My comment is that we do want to have someone from Dale McIntosh on the commission. I think that's really important.
Yes.
My recommendation, my thought is that we have Beck Levin come back, and then we'll see if Beck Levin can be the person from Dale McIntosh, and if they cannot, then we need to have someone else from Dale McIntosh.
Okay.
And now that we have a stronger orientation, someone can spend some time with Beck and go through the materials personally, maybe over coffee, right? Over the phone, but I think that would be a good way to
more helpful.
Increase support.
Okay.
Do we know if this is something Beck wants to do, or is this part of Beck's job? You understand what I'm saying? Like, is this something that part of Beck's job description, or is this something that said, I would really enjoy being a member of this commission, or pick somebody else. Nope, we're picking you.
Is there a way we can ask these questions to the members? I'm trying to think about the application. I know, without not having it. Do you have
yeah,
the application?
I do. And one of the things
is there a question
that,
there?
No, one of the things that's mentioned, though, is during my first term on the commission, I served as our key panel member. My invaluable feedback for this panel was supported by high praise I received from the panel lead, Diana Liz, contract administrator for the county.
How did you get that?
It was in the packet.
Oh.
Beck. We got information about Beck.
Oh.
Did anyone want to see this?
I was going to say, because in the olden days, we used to all get copies of that, but I don't remember seeing that.
No.
Did you get it, Dave?
No, I don't recall.
I don't either.
Well, there were a lot of attachments.
Maybe I missed it.
Yeah.
So what has changed from never attending a meeting when she was first appointed to.
There were meetings that were attended.
I can't say never.
They did attend a number of meetings.
Yeah.
My Housing and Transportation Committee, ECHO, was present for several.
Well, but she never, from January to March, she never attended one of the meetings. We had to send out a termination letter, I guess.
If I recall correctly, I think early on, yes, she was in attendance, and then there was this break that then her bylaws cost her to be dismissed, you know, not dismissed, that's not.
Okay, I don't have the record.
And so then clearly by her application, there's an interest. I don't know what that is, but the interest did come back.
Crystal makes a good point. It's part of her job or something they want to do.
Well, based on the application that what she described in there, sounds like there's definitely some interest there. And that's something that I think you're going to see as the commission because of the bylaws. It just clearly says if you miss three meetings, mm-hmm. then you're off, but there's nothing in there that says you can't reapply.
Right.
And then when you miss the meetings, obviously we can't say, well, why did you miss them? Because you then become very subjective about, because it could be for a low of many different things that someone misses, right? But then they put in an application and that is their way of expressing interest to be part of it.
Charlene's point,
yeah.
They were not that familiar with the attendance rules.
And I don't know that it's clear that Beck, how long Beck has been with Dale McIntosh. So is this a new position for her or for
the
Beck or
what'd you say, they or them?
Beck chooses they, I thought.
But I'm just trying to figure
Beck says. Just easier to say Beck.
Position for they.
Just say the name, person's name.
Well, you never want to turn away, a volunteer.
Yeah.
I think Meredith's point, give Beck a chance and then we see what happens. And
right.
And if it happens again, then I would say,
there's a good precedent for us to, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yes, it says, we'll have a discussion on form,
requirements. So we can be there, we can
feedback
add again
groups and services.
The requirements of a member. Just as a reminder,
it's appropriate for Beck to attend the June meeting.
Just say
the June meeting and wait until we make a recommendation or a final recommendation at the June meeting.
I motion for Beck to be appointed to OAC.
I second.
Wait, is this a roll call vote or a...
No. Do you have to call for discussion?
Any discussion? Further discussion?
My discussion is if Beck ends up in the same position of missing three, then I think Beck is no longer able to apply unless Beck has a written, understanding that this will be the last opportunity for Beck to participate because Beck is taking away from someone else.
Oh, that's interesting. Is that something that Office on Aging can do to tell Beck that they have been reappointed, but the executive committee is concerned?
No, that wouldn't be in a role because it is at your action and decision here to appoint someone, and the bylaws are very general in that term. That is something that, as part of your discussions in your general meetings, you can actually review the sections of the bylaws. Just for a friendly reminder to the commissioners, council members, hey, this is what the bylaw says, just let's be mindful. If you terminate, these are the reasons.
So I think that, the executive board, if this should happen again, would be interested in having someone else from Dale McIntosh. Yes. Okay.
Now, is she being appointed under?
They are applying.
General. Not through the board of supervisors.
No, it is not a board.
So this is
voluntary on Bay's part.
Correct.
And who is she replacing then? this is through.
No, we have
it.
No,
it's
okay.
We have it. But at the same time, that does meet that guideline that somebody in the community that works in one of the
side to the interest because they were originally appointed right by the board.
Oh, they were.
Now they're reapplying as a general black member. So that might have a little, different chase.
Well, I am all for second chances. Yes.
So now you take a vote.
Okay, let's take a vote. All in favor, say aye.
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 Any opposed?
Any opposed?
That's negative.
Okay. Thank you so much. All right, now we are on to the chair report. I just want to thank everyone so much for your hard work. I feel like we've made a lot of strides. It was really fun to be at the Board of Supervisors meetings for those that come and receive the proclamation. I also want to encourage everyone to be following the Office on Aging on Facebook and Instagram. Please like or heart the post. Or share them because we want the presence of the Office on Aging to fit the algorithm. So I've been resharing and hearting and liking, but I would like it if we gain traction and the pictures are great and the messages are great. So that's good. That means that a community member has a chance of running across it and getting the help that they need. That's really all I have for my chair report. I'm excited about this as well. So thank you so much for the ALHOP committee. Thank you for your leadership, Rachel. And we'll go on to 8 commission member announcements.
Chair?
Yes.
Oh, I wanted to underscore this really helps. So
yes.
It's one thing to say that we have all of these platforms, but when you see it, then you're drawn to that. And I appreciate the fact that the emails and the recaps now are very focused.
Oh, yes.
That is
very
really,
classy.
Really an improvement.
Yes.
So thank you for that. I would share with the executive committee that I've had a dozen people ask me time and again how, without having to come to a general meeting, how we can participate. And it is frustrating, and I just said I would share, it's frustrating that we are not hybrid so that people at a senior center, as an example, could watch a meeting. So because a lot of people won't drive to Santa Ana or Irvine, if you will. So it is a frustration when
that's... You tell them all about the Brown Act?
I did tell them, but, there are other commissions that are still on Zoom in the city, so that's kind of frustrating for a lot of people.
The recordings are on the website, so
that's not very sexy. But, I continue to share the information that you can listen and the agendas are available. So,
thank you. Oh, another announcement that I would make is that it would be neat for the cities that you're assigned to see if the information that is now being sent out by either you or the PIO is actually getting on to their city distributions. That's another measurement for us.
I did get a decline from my senior center to put the legislative info into there, but that was not unexpected. It was a little dry for it to go into their email.
So let's start. That could be one of our measurements, though, looking at the supervisors and the elected officials, if they're pushing out the information.
And Troy, are you suggesting then contacting our city manager? Is that where it would go to the city manager's office?
According to what I heard from Renee from OCSR or whatever it is, the PIO was going to send it to the city managers.
Correct.
Yes. Okay.
Yeah, correct. It goes through our public information.
Yeah. Yes. But we can be the double check.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And just, if it's not there, ask why.
Just making the conversation.
Yeah. Yeah.
Thank you.
Okay. And Meredith, when you were here last month, I brought it up that I thought as ambassadors, we should be experts on our senior centers. And I thought it might be a little more informative if we asked a specific question, like for the next meeting, what kind of transportation does your center provide? It's not so much, like Crystal made a good point, what are we going to do with this information? And I get that, but I thought it would help us because I'd rather hear about that than an art project at a senior center. That's just me. And so I thought if you came, like when we were talking with Gene and I found out he has the best and the taxi anywhere in Orange County for $2. You do too? For $2?
Yes, that's what I was showing. It's on
there. Oh, okay.
Look at that. Sign up for Senior Mobility Program right on our website.
And then when you come to the meeting and you find out you have this and you have this, and in those two cities that don't have anything, like you brought up, the one city is smaller than yours. Yeah. Oh, bigger than yours. And you said, well, why don't they have anything? I think it's good as ambassadors then to go back. I'm not being critical, but why don't we have a taxi program? Or why don't we have this? Because I think as ambassadors, those are really valuable questions. And the supervisor said they were interested in transportation, right?
Well, we could get even a little bit more organized than before we have a presentation. We could ask people to ask their senior center about that subject matter.
That's what I meant. And then I shared with Elizabeth, most senior centers, not all, have some kind of an advisory board. Ours is called Lake Forest Senior Advisory Board. And when you go to the meetings, you find out all kinds of things and you can bring and share and then take things back. So that was another question I thought at one point we could ask, does your center have some type of an advisory board? And have you been to the meeting? Because they definitely should be going to the meeting.
I have to say, I think that's a great question to ask because we used to have one and that was rolled into Parks and Rec and then it was eliminated from that area. So now we have none. And I could very easily and happily go back to our city and say, you know, more than X amount of cities have that kind of representation. And how are we an age-friendly community when our seniors are not represented?
Can we put that on the agenda under senior center sharing? That we're going to talk about, does your senior center have an advisory board?
Like discussion?
Yeah.
As a discussion?
Under the item that we've been having that says senior center liaison.
So the way I would see it,
report in your report outs, right? Yeah, it's on the agenda.
The agenda say, does your senior center have an advisory board or something?
Report next month.
Yeah, it's either a yes or a no or what's it called.
Like, and what does it do?
On the agenda so that people can see it when it comes out.
So they're prepared for the next month.
So as a topic,
it's under senior center.
Senior center.
Number 11, because Meredith always has, you know, you can talk about your
senior center. It's a general agenda.
Yeah.
The senior.
Senior center?
Yes.
Updates.
So.
And then like topic.
Can we have a topic under senior center and city liaison updates and have that question as a topic?
Yeah.
So I think we can add,
we don't want to hear that they made a bowl of popcorn for the Mother's Day thing.
Thank you.
So what, now you should make this recommendation since you're going to be presenting the talking points,
the icebreaker.
Since you're going to be presenting the icebreaker and it's going to be on discussion, correct? No, action. It's going to be an action item. I'm wondering if add that question in your...
Be prepared.
We don't want that to be a permanent icebreaker, though.
No, we don't want
we're going to change this every month and we want people to be prepared. I was just hoping that they could see it in writing.
That's fine.
Yeah.
I think that's the confusion that came with this right here.
Oh, yeah.
We
don't want more stuff. I'll just say it verbally. That's fine. More paper.
But what you're trying to say is you want to have the question here so they can see it ahead of time.
Yes.
And prepare for
yes.
That.
Yes.
So they'll answer
it. So they won't tell us about the question and not just putting the question on there. It'll be part of your verbal discussions. But I don't know. I feel.
Right. Yes.
I feel like you should add it in there because it's like their little script guide, right? The icebreaker.
No, that's just for orientation for people that need it. Every month we want to have
a different question.
Yeah, a different question.
Correct. So you go to your center and you find out X.
Yes.
Whatever the question is. And we don't talk about
and not about activities, more about services.
Put it on discussion.
And
then
we have a high level of that question. Put it on the agenda under discussions.
There you go.
Added us the question.
Okay,
well, that way it gives you.
So that. The next question is, does your senior center have an advisory committee or board?
Correct.
And then be prepared to bring that answer back in August.
Well, Meredith can elaborate on it next month.
Yeah,
this is what you'd like to bring back. Then my other question or comment is, do we follow, in our meetings, do we follow Robert's Rules of Order?
Are we supposed to?
I see a lot of confusion in the meeting, and you know, I'm from the olden days. We had that at school, and when I joined another committee, a lot of the younger people didn't know anything about it, so we had to review it. And here's a point that we learned, and you can check me out, see if I'm wrong, if it's changed. We were told in our research, the chairperson or the president cannot make a motion and cannot vote. That's what we found in Robert's Rules. Now, this is like 15 years ago, so maybe that's changed or it's different. But anyway, I think somehow we need to review with everybody how Robert's Rules works.
I don't think that's correct. Because we follow Robert's Rules at council. And when I was mayor, I voted an appropriateness, right? You kind of want someone else to correct, make the motion, but
right.
You still vote. If you can, if nobody's making the motion, you can make what you can second. So,
okay.
But it's kind of a general, you know, the mayor should be running the meeting, not
right.
necessarily, you know, making the motions, but there's nothing prohibiting.
But to this point, back to the orientation package, there are one page Robert Rules
yes.
order kind of
good
thing
point.
That again we could share with a new member.
Yes, that's
don't
a very
need
good
to
point.
Do
and that may turn off people as well, just to let you all know.
It might,
yes.
But it is the protocol and it might keep some of the rowdiness thing. I really think we need to have an orientation package.
And that should be shared with everyone.
Yeah.
Initially.
Yeah.
We could all get reoriented.
So
right.
I will commit that your goals committee will work on what should be in an orientation.
That's great.
Okay.
And can the committee organize that orientation packet?
All I can do is tell you what should be in it and hope that you guys have it in places that we could get.
When I very first started, I was
let's bring that to the table in your executive meetings to kind of discuss. And
I know a letter has been.
Yeah,
on my behalf that I've never seen before. Someone forwarded it to me that says welcome and it has my name.
I never saw
that.
Oh, from our office?
No, I got it forwarded from a new member though.
I didn't get anything.
But it came from us.
Right.
I know, but it has my
yeah.
name on it.
Oh.
I had never seen it.
Wait, no.
Monica, can I ask you? We do send a welcome.
Yeah. So I think the chair should know that that's going out because I never knew until someone else told me.
And that letter is signed or addressed from you.
Yes.
It is?
I think so.
And you didn't know about it?
I didn't know about it.
I just look at it.
Yeah.
Okay.
But I think that's part of the orientation. What's going on in your name?
Yeah. In terms of the orientation, I think that is something if I may recommend that you continue to have base it on the discussions
yeah.
here so that we can like mull it over on how do we envision what kind of information we think it would be beneficial. And then be able to then present it to the general.
I think the orientation.
But it will take a definitely collaboration because then we don't want to tell you, well, this is what your membership be oriented on.
But we need
materials
from you.
Here, and is that something that we would be best to develop or more beneficial, or can we lean on you also for some items? So I think we can continue to discuss that here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Progress, not perfection.
Okay.
Oh,
Any other announcements?
Yeah.
Well, I went first because she couldn't remember.
I couldn't remember.
So I didn't jump ahead of her. She just couldn't remember. So
Steve Moyer, who is the CEO of AgeWell, just happened to be in the building when we were having our last ad hoc meeting. And I did not realize that my other three board committee members had no clue what AgeWell was,
yes.
what they
oh,
did.
My gosh.
You know, so I think we need to add that onto.
It's been 2 years since we've had them come, but AgeWell usually doesn't respond to our emails or our requests.
Well, I will make that happen, Steve.
I was going to ask you request like to come present
yeah.
to the general on services offered
uh-huh.
by AgeWell. Let us know.
It wasn't that
reaching out to request a presentation. Let us know.
Well, we haven't yet.
Okay.
I'm just saying, Steve, when I realized
it wasn't that beneficial, in my opinion, but we can, you know, they're servicing the meals that you're paying for.
Correct.
Yeah.
They're one of our services.
Well, they do transportation.
They
too.
Do.
Yeah. And transportation, yes.
So it's not just meals.
Well, then we would have to have meals on wheels at the same time.
I know. We probably do. We should probably, because we're based.
So they both declined to come last year, but they did come the year before and the year before.
Oh, but we have 8 or 9, maybe 10 new folks in that room who probably do not know this information. Like I said, I was just pleased and flabbergasted that those other three members of Tustin, Laguna Hills, and Seal Beach had
Seal Beach doesn't have AGEWELL.
I understand, but they just had no concept of how this was divided, who did what, where the funding came from, how it differed, and what was offered. And AGEWELL is now participating in the mental health, right? I think.
Well, are you thinking Council on Aging?
I'm not thinking Council on Aging.
Okay.
What is the entity that, or the I'll come up with it, but I don't remember off the top of my head. So I know we have a new coordinated service spot somewhere in the county, and they're just going to break ground on a second one. Is AGEWELL?
That's BeWell.
BeWell.
They're a different group.
They're
a
different group. But AGEWELL is not participating with BeWell. Okay.
But they both are well.
Yes.
But you know, Rachel, I like your comment about because you have a lot of new members in your commission that are new and potentially even new to like Aging Network. And even though you've had certain service providers, some of our service providers write their contract with us, present a year, 2 years, and whatnot. If I wouldn't hurt, especially now, since there's lots of questions involving services and where to go and need for information, one of the benefits to have our service providers come in and get on the calendar of presentations is not just to hear about the services that are from us. You hear it from us because we present it to you once a year, like here's all the services we offer. But those partners we have also provide a lieu of other services that we not necessarily immediately market for, but we do rely on them, you know, as they're out and doing outreach to market for all those other programs that they might be funding through other sources, right? So it probably wouldn't hurt to just start looking at that presentation calendar. And if you're having a hard time, like someone's not responding, and especially if it is one of our service providers, let us know, because then between
that didn't help last time, but just for the record, they're very difficult to work with.
Because we have our managers, we have a direct connection to our service providers, so we can always run that chain and bring those things to discussions with them.
Council on Aging is another one, but I would say that sometimes it's good to have the information, but we also want to be aware of our goals with the presentation. So yeah,
Elizabeth brought that up. She said that would be, I think it was you, right?
Yeah, Council on Aging.
Yeah,
reached out to potentially present here, well, at the general meeting, on one of their topics. I have to look up the topic though.
Well, they do the ombudsman program. That might be
correct. Yes, we have them under our ombudsman program, our elder abuse prevention program,
ICAP, and MIPA,
which is Medicare, specific Medicare enrollment. So
there's legal aid too.
Yes.
So it's a potential ombudsman presentation opportunity.
But I think the ombudsman really meets a lot of our goals.
I was thinking of what you had said about our goals, and that's why I kind of hesitated.
Directly,
no.
But it's definitely a service.
Well, there's lots of wonderful programs.
Yeah. Oh, they have great programs.
Laundry list of wonderful programs.
So,
and it's just
great. Yeah, part of the, So the part of the, I'm reading more on the description of the presentation, and it's the presentation will cover the history of the ombudsman program, its mission, how the program operates with long-term care facilities, a description of training on ombudsman, on the training that the ombudsman receive, and how they investigate allegations of abuse and neglect
of long-term care residents.
I volunteer as an ombudsman, and I can tell you what they're doing is they're recruiting people to be ombudsman because there's such
volunteers.
I would say that if we want to hear from them, we would want to hear about the friendly visitor program that they have. That would meet our goals for aging in place.
However, a good source of information to bring forth opportunities for volunteering, if let's say you have any members that are really looking, or maybe they're tied to one of their senior centers and they're looking for volunteering opportunities, I mean, that's always good. It's one of these programs that maybe they don't like immediately are always at the face because they're in these facilities looking at allegations of course, abuse, neglect, or elders. Work very heavily, of course, with social service agency or adult protection services. Mm-hmm. And you might speak to that a little bit if there's ever any referrals made along that way or communications. But it is an opportunity to bring forth just another information opportunity. And it might be, you know, not a 20-minute long, 30-minute long presentation. It might be a short one or just information to bring forth to the commissioners.
But when you think about our calendar,
yeah,
certainly you guys want to talk about what the Office on Aging does, and that's a good presentation in January. At some point in time, we have to put up with an annual Brown Act
presentation. We just refresh your family.
You know, in November, we probably want some kind of legislative update coming up. We absolutely want to have the assessment presentation. And we probably want that assessment presentation, what they're doing with next steps.
It sounds like we want AARP.
And we want AARP.
So
really, all of a sudden,
you run out of time.
7 or 8 months worth.
That's when you can create panels too and try to think about having people talk for 15 minutes instead of 30 minutes.
So, I was just going to, I was thinking about panel, like, oh, well, we can put all life programs, nutrition.
We did that. Yeah, we've done that.
Yeah.
And that's who shows that Meals on Wheels on County.
Thank you.